You're welcome to the Invisible Sensei podcast. And this podcast is a little different in that it is coming to you from Naha, Okinawa, from my little but very comfortable room. And I guess I wanted to give you some reflections. Firstly, I want to say thank you to all those people who reached out with good wishes and all those people who donated money and positivity to get me here. It was a massive part of me being here. Now, it's funny, of course I do all the nerdy things that I've probably become something of a master at. Of course I've listened to the Karate Kid soundtrack while I've been walking around. I've also sat here and thought about, oh, you know, these are the streets that Miyagi and Funakoshi and Asato and all those, you know, legends of karate, you know, they used to walk around these streets. And but the thing that I find myself reflecting on the most, aside from the wonderful people and the training and just how accommodating people are, is my grandmother and my family, in the sense that when I was a kid, my family and my extended family sort of had an impression that, you know, martial arts, especially karate and just martial arts in general, I guess they wouldn't have made a distinction, was kind of not a less than manly pursuit, but certainly a weird thing to be involved with. And I've been involved with it for a long time. And I had actual literal tears of gratitude sitting here about 10 minutes ago, just thinking about how my grandmother would let me train at the back of her house. And I don't doubt that if you'd gone out to the back of the lawn, even years after we'd both left that house, you'd still find the divots in the backyard lawn where I trained, and my attempt at a makiwara underneath the only tree in the yard. And I always remember that my sensei from the dojo, obviously, gave me a chishi and allowed me to bring it home. So I had a makiwara and a chishi. And, you know, I'd go out and I'd practice, and my grandmother would sit from the kitchen window and watch me train. And at that time, Okinawa was this fictional world that only exists in movies. And karate was still a new thing to me. But I think somewhere, wherever she is, she's probably, well, I would like to say to her, thank you. Thank you for having faith in me. Thank you for helping me to get a gi. Thank you for giving me a place to train. And thank you for being someone who believes in me. And whilst I'm here and, you know, in the land of masters, a very small pebble on a very large beach, I'm really grateful to her. I'm really grateful to my family. I'm really grateful for the way in which they put up with the craziness of having their son out there punching a piece of wood wrapped in rope for hours on end, for, you know, renovating my gi, making the legs shorter or the arms longer or whatever needed to happen, for allowing me to pursue this art. And it's funny, when I was planning on coming to Okinawa, you know, I've been here before, but it was a long time ago and for a very brief period. And it was a different world, different Okinawa, and I was a different person, and I was not here as an individual. I was here as part of a collective that I am no longer part of. And I thought that I would walk around and sort of do the monuments and the turtle shell tombs. I didn't get a chance to do when last time I was here, but, you know, it's making me reflect on the things that I have back home. And it's been really cool to receive messages from people who listen to the podcast. And yeah, of course, I'm like a kid in a candy shop. I've been sitting having conversations with incredible martial artists, by far and away my seniors, hanging out with my bro Michael Hagen in Taipei. Even though it was brief, it was incredible. It was wonderful. We've been friends for, since the pandemic, online, and to meet in person, it was like a reunion as opposed to a first meeting. And then for Josh Simmers to meet for the first time, it really was like meeting another sibling, just like with Michael. And then to hang out with James Pankovitz, the Sato Dojo, who's an incredible host. Both him and Josh have been amazing. To be in their famous Sato Dojo and to joke around and to be on the beach yesterday morning practicing iku with Antonsen Sensei. To walk through Shuri Castle with two incredible historians telling me stories. I mean, it is a literal... It's kind of like if you're a Star Wars guy, and I am a Star Wars guy, going to sleep and waking up and you're in the middle of Tatooine, or you've woken up and Jedis are a real thing and you get to hang out with them. Yes, very nerdy, but I'm not apologising. I think that the thing that I'm reflecting on most while I'm here is the people over the years who have supported me, even when they didn't understand why I was doing what I was doing. And it's been really amazing. I trained with Pankovic Sensei yesterday, Arakaki Sensei, who was an incredibly gracious host, for having some big bald palooka rock on into his dojo. It was very, very kind. It was a beautiful dojo. I felt very honoured to be there. There was James, myself, Arakaki Sensei, and another one of his students who was amazing at Kobudo as well. And I remember getting halfway through a session and excusing myself to go to the bathroom very, very briefly. And it was very hot. And if you've trained in Okinawa or you live in a hot climate, you know what it's like to train in a gi. And I remember I sat there, put the toilet seat down, sat on it, looked at myself in the mirror and said earnestly, come on man, you the one who wanted to be here. And I had a quick wash and went back out and resumed training. And we were training in Matsubashi Shurindu, and so in particular the kata Naihanchi. And I know that Naihanchi is an extremely integral kata, an extremely important kata to Shurinru practitioners and Kenpo practitioners, Shuri practitioners. But I'm not used to kibudachi, and my legs were shaking, and it's really good to remember how weak I am. But I gave it the best that I could, and hopefully I didn't disgrace James Sensei or, you know, my family, culture and people. But it was really wonderful and was so nice. But the thing I reflect on is that, you know, I had this beautiful dojo in his house, and the cultural context of karate for the sensei, it's not just a martial art. It is a way of keeping their feet and their hands and their body entrenched in their culture. Now, karate is not Okinawa. Karate comes from Okinawa. There is an incredible tapestry of culture and language and history and tradition that karate is part and parcel of. It's a feather in the cloak, as it were. And it's been really lovely to be here. The thing that I'm really mindful of is that, talking about feathers and cloaks, what is the colour of my cloak and what are the feathers that I have in my cloak? And more importantly, what am I bringing to Okinawa rather than taking from it? So hopefully what I'm bringing is an open heart, a closed mouth, open eyes and open ears. That's what I'm hoping I'm bringing. To be as unobtrusive as I possibly can at 6'4", heavily tattooed, bald Polynesian guy. He can be. But I'm so honoured to be here. I'm so grateful to the people who've been part of my journey thus far. And if you're listening to this podcast, then you're part of that too. I want to say thank you to that. I also want to drop a, you know, what's up to my sister, Benita. Benita sent me a really lovely email. And we she's my friend. We trained in Canada last year. And she traveled all the way from, I believe it was Chicago, I could have that wrong, to come and train at the seminar that Steve Arms Sensei created in Canada last year. And, you know, my last podcast, I was talking about my daughter, and she reflected on some things which I won't go into because they are private, but just in terms of family and in terms of relationships with our children and how important they are and how difficult they can be, in the sense that, you know, especially teenagers, if you've got kids, you know what I'm talking about. The monosyllabic answers, the kind of shrug that accompanies any question. And I remember that I am here because I had a grandmother who encouraged me not to just shrug an answer to a question, not to be monosyllabic, but to talk. And if I'm doing anything here of value, of worth, then it comes from her and my mum and my family and my brothers and my sisters and my dad and all those people that have been part of that journey. So, how's your journey going? And what feathers are you putting in your cloak?